Hello, everybody. Barbara from Las Vegas, Nevada, not far from my old home, says, "Hey, Art, I've listened to you since 1989. I can remember you're saying there are no coincidences, and now you're saying there are. When did that change?" Barbara, never. I think George is the one who says there are no coincidences, not myself. Here's the way it lines up for me. If everything is orchestrated and everything is connected in such a way that there are no coincidences, that means we're all sort of marionettes, and the little strings are being pulled, and we're acting out a predestined everything. And I just don't believe that. I believe in this nasty old, what was it from that movie, Free Will's a Bitch, right? So I think there is this free will thing, and I don't think we're all acting out a completely predestined, numerically sequential life. I just don't believe that. My guest does, though. He's Scott Flansburg, and he'll be back, and we'll get on the phones with you in a moment. Scott, we're about to go to the phones, but Todd from Castaic, California says, Art, this human calendar your guest is speaking of is what the LAPD uses for their scheduling. It's called the deployment schedule. It's based on a 28-day cycle with 13 months, and the schedule always starts on a Sunday. Sound familiar?
That's so beautiful to hear. I hope every company in America will use that so that all our paychecks fall on a regular day. Everybody would know what day they're supposed to go to work. It would make life so much easier.
Okay. Let's go to the lines and see what's out there. First time caller line, you're on the air with Z Human Calculator, Scott Flansburg. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all this morning?
Okay.
Good. What I was calling about is he's talking about these numbers in the Bible. And I thought the numeric system was in my concordance, but it's not. Do you happen to have a website where I can find these numbers so I can search out like that?
I'm working on a book about numbers in the Bible, but it's not going to come out till 999. So it's quite a ways away, but there is the one book that really blew me away as before I became a Christian, right in that year 99, there was a book called The Pattern and the Prophecy by, I think it's James Harrison. And he went into the math of it, triangular numbers in the Bible, you know, like the number of fish Jesus pulled out of the nets when they put it the other side, all kinds of these fascinating, not coincidences. I mean, all the numbers in the Bible are triangular. It's just amazing. So I just think it defies the odds there to be a coincidence. If you look up that and if you go online and you start doing, I don't do the Bible code stuff. I think that's fascinating, and I hope they have amazing breakthroughs with that. But that's not where I focus my time. I'm trying to figure out from just a pure numerical perspective on a different level of what it might mean.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Scott Flansburg. Hi.
Is this East of the Rockies?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I have a question. Can you take the numeral of pi and apply it to the expansion of the universe?
Well, I guess you could if you had a lot of free time and that was what you were into. But I don't spend much time doing that. I think pi is fascinating. It's an amazing number. It defines circles. You know, it's just shows you the beauty of the natural shape of a circle and how amazing it is. So, but no, I haven't gone that deep.
Okay.
And Art, can I mention something? You at the beginning of the hour here, you said something about predestination.
I did indeed.
Can I just throw something at you about that?
Yeah, you may. Yes, go ahead.
Well, just from a mathematical perspective or Christian perspective combined, whatever you want to call it, but predestination is a tough subject, and I'm not going to go too down that road because I know it's very controversial, but there's a difference, I believe, between predestination and what is called prophecy. Prophecy doesn't mean a prediction. A prophecy is a fulfillment of something written down, and I really think that if there is a creator, that this creator would live outside of time, and humans have a time span. And just because the creator would know from the beginning to the end of that story doesn't mean that he predetermined it. He just, or the creator just laid it out for us to sort of show us. I mean, it's a wake-up call. And if you do the math, the statistics of the prophecies that have been fulfilled in the Bible are mind-boggling, and there's not one that hasn't that failed. Not one.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, statistically, okay. It just blew me away.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Scott Plansberg. Hi.
Hi. I have two questions. First of all, and I don't want to come across as skeptical because I love numerology and I'm fascinated by everything that your guest is saying. But, you know, America definitely has a predilection for pop culture and sort of over-the-top events and movies. And I couldn't help but notice a couple of years after 9/11, there was a documentary on the making of The Towering Inferno, and my jaw dropped when the revelation was made that that movie was completed on September 11th, 1974.
Wow.
And I'm wondering if that isn't the taking the lead from Contact, my favorite movie, and Occam's Razor, the simplest explanation is sometimes the best. Maybe that was the inspiration.
It could be. I did not hear that until you just said that. I never knew that. And Contact is a great movie, and it's, you know, the first contact from these ETs is numbers. If you remember the movie,
yes.
they do the prime numbers. And so I really, that's why I feel that numbers are such a powerful language.
And that leads me to my second question. You had said that it might be interesting to do a Bible code search with the proper algorithm by taking a zero and placing it in front of a person's social security number. And I was wondering why the social security number? Why wouldn't it be perhaps more revealing if, in a related way to the way that you see numerical patterns in Roman numerals, if you were to take the numeric equivalents of the letters in everyone's name and do a search based on some sort of a number string, you know, based on the position of the letter in the alphabet of someone's native language rather than a social security number?
Well, when I first came up with this idea about taking zero in front of social security numbers, it really almost came off more like a movie script just to, you know, blow people away with numbers and see what they could do. But it goes deeper than that for me. You know, I had this discovery about the nine thing on 9999, and I happen to live in Phoenix, Arizona. And in Phoenix, the last two letters of Phoenix are IX, and that's the Roman numerals for nine. And it was the state of Arizona, and the initials for the state of Arizona are A-Z, and the first and last letter of the alphabet are A through Z. And so it just sort of resonated. It all added up that I just wanted to see how far I could go with this, and that's when I came up with this idea of the Bible code, because I studied it for a little while, and it's overwhelming, and I don't speak Hebrew or Greek, and so I really couldn't go too far down that road, and I just wanted to see what I could do with it from my side. So
no, but again, with what little I understand, Scott, of what you've told me about numeric systems, the Bible code is based not on your numeric system, but on our numeric system, so that if you were to take a zero and throw it into the mix as a number, the whole darn Bible code would be wrong.
I don't think so. I think that this is what it is, and it's supposed to be for the time that they discovered this. I just think that this new zero is a revelation that will line things up even clearer and even reveal another dimension to the Bible. What I believe is this supercomputer. That's just all numbers that's going to allow us to see that there was somebody ahead of time that had a computer maybe, or just like ETs, are they time travelers from the future? So that's where I started with that.
Okay. Wild card line, you're on the air with Scott Flansburg. Hi.
Yes. What a delight, Ed, to hear Scott and your other guests. I hope you'll bring the other guests back for a longer time, but Scott, I really want to encourage you because you are you are just vibrating, you know, some experiences that I have had that just fit right into place. And I'm wondering if you know, Art, I want to make a brief comment and then ask him to deal with two or three things, and I'll hang up and listen over the air. But, young man, I think you're definitely going in the right direction. About 15 years or so, I attended a seminar in, it was at Columbia University in New York City, and this was a young man, a professor who had taken the Kemetic, the Egyptian calendar, which turned out, as we studied it, of 13 months, and he had done something what you're working on. So I wish you good luck in getting it out. It's very important to understand time. And I also think, Art, that he's, in terms of around 9/11, and first of all, I'm one of the nice and gracious people, even if you disagree with me. But I think that he's on the right track, and either on coast or maybe locally in New York, I heard someone say that Jordan Maxwell, who has been with George on coast, said that 9/11, Scott, was also 2,000 years from the beginning of the Ethiopian calendar. So I think you're right on track, and you look, and it's no accident, because the people who really deal with the occult, they're the ones in the secret societies and the ruling elite. But getting to my question, do you know Professor Gabriel Oyibo, who went around the world recently and met with mathematical scholars around his equation? And I can't actually give you the equation, but it's all around zero and something about God, and it's along the lines. Are you familiar with his work?
It's funny you brought that up. I just got some stuff on that. A couple people sent me emails about it, so I haven't studied it yet, but I'm looking forward to it because it does rhyme with the things that I'm working on, and so it was fascinating to know that somebody else was doing that. But I'm hoping that a lot of people and the mathematicians around the world help us figure out ways to see where we're missing zero and to learn how to count zero. And you're in New York, and one thing I'm hoping that on 9/11 this year that people will consider in America is that our floors in our buildings in America are numbered starting at 1 and going up. And plus they skipped 13 of all things. So I hope that American buildings will consider renumbering their floors so that the ground floor is zero in recognition of 9/11 and ground zero.
And that ends up with somebody being on 13, right?
Well, when you count zero, 13 isn't the 13th number anymore. You know, these English words throw us off, Art. The word first makes us associate the number one with it. It's all about number one. First is number one. But really, the first number is zero. The second number is one. And so the 13th number is really 12.
Okay, well, yes, but in the current situation that we have, people on the 14th floor are actually on the 13th floor, no matter what they call it anyway, right?
Exactly. And what's funny about 13 and being unlucky, Art, I think it goes back to Jesus and his 12 disciples, because the Romans didn't want him around. They didn't like what he was saying, and so they referred to him and his disciples as that 13. And he was crucified on Friday the 13th, on the 13th hour. And so maybe they were just trying to get a message across that 13 is not a good number, and this guy, you know, and his 12 disciples aren't a good idea. So that's just my best guess.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much, both of you. This has been so fascinating. My name is Nan. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been math challenged and numerically challenged, I suppose, my whole life. So I've been just fascinated and a little bit overwhelmed, actually, by this whole discussion and all the various dimensions of it. Before I actually ask you my question, I wanted to just briefly wish my friend Todd in Eastern Oregon good luck if he's listening, which he usually is. I missed a little bit while right after I turned my radio off, so forgive me if you've been asked this. I was going to ask you what you thought about numerology, and if you've already covered this and I missed it, the other thing that occurred to me was sacred geometry, and you know, if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, numerology, there's two numerologies. There's a small n numerology and a capital N numerology, and I really think that it's the human ego trying to use numbers and horoscopes to make themselves more significant or meaningful. So I don't study that. I don't waste my time or energy on that. And if there is something to it, you know, I'll be bummed out when I find out and see how many years I missed. But if I don't, that's okay, because, you know, it's for me, numbers make perfect sense, and numerology just was so appealing, and trying to suck me in, I could just feel it. And I really felt like it was a distraction because, you know, I'm a human calculator, and when I'm not a calculator, I'm just human. I'm just a regular guy, and I really feel like tuning into that aspect of, because I always see things through numbers, it's a distraction. It's an easy way to excuse being, you know, not to be socially responsible or acceptable for that matter, because I'm distracted all the time. And so I didn't want numerology to take me even deeper down that rabbit hole.
Okay. Sacred geometry.
Sacred geometry. I am a high school dropout, and I've never been to college in my life. So I never really got deep into geometry. But every time I look at it or I try to understand it, like the golden mean ratio and things like that, Fibonacci, I get chills. I mean, I can, because it's such a divine and ordered language that no other language that man has created can compare to.
Have you thought of continuing, because of your ability, Scott, have you thought of continuing your education, particularly mathematics?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that, too. I wanted to wait till after, you know, I have a few more years here to make sure that the 9 concept and the matrix and my calendar all get done. And so I'm just going to commit a few more years to that, and then I look forward to pursuing those the rest of my life.
You certainly have a gift. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi. Hello.
Zero.
Going once.
Hello.
Massachusetts, Richard. Going twice. Yes.
Good to see.
Yes. Speak.
Art, it's great to see you back on the air.
Thank you.
I have a question on the number 7s in the Bible. I noticed that they're 42 generations in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, and that has a lot to do. It makes connections with the last generation, the 1967 war between the Israelis and the... I was wondering what Scott thought about that.
Well, I studied that for a little while because the number 7 is obviously a very special number in the Bible. 7 days, the earth was created, all these things. But then just to test myself, I chose any other random number and said, okay, now just dig in and go in and find every nuance about that number and search for it. And, you know, like Art said earlier, I mean, it's a choice. I mean, I could get obsessed with one of those and find it in anything. And so I found with my mathematical skills that did happen. That, you know, I said, okay, let's go to 6. You know, what happens when you go to 6? And all of a sudden there's all these 6s and there are 9s and 5s. It's everywhere.
But
you know?
See, what you're really just saying right now, Scott, is that there are coincidences. You know, and you have to pick between what you think is a coincidence and what really has some profound numerical meaning.
Well, the human mind is a powerful tool. And, you know, I just think that we can make it anything we want to. It seems like a coincidence, but it's really us just, you know, going off. So I'm not going to go there, Art. I'm not going to use the
word. All right, Scott. I won't force you there. All right. Stand by.
Predestination or coincidence? But
All right. Bottom of the hour. Scott Flansburgh is my guest. We have one more segment to go from Manila in the Philippines. I'm Art Bell. No question about it. The man has a gift. Scott Flansburgh is my guest. He's the human calculator, and we're talking, well, about numbers. You're welcome to join us. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Day Dave from Louisville, Kentucky, fast blast me that, hey, I just heard the police, a police siren over Art's mic. No, actually, you didn't. You heard a police siren over Scott's telephone, probably coming after him for some numbers violation. Scott?
I'm at a hotel in downtown Minneapolis, and I have all the windows open because it's all, like 60 degrees, Art, and I live in Phoenix. We haven't seen 60 degrees in 5 months. So I'm just trying to take it in, and, you know, sure enough, something happened down here.
Okay, wild card line, I think it's from West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Bob. I'm from West Virginia. And I wanted to ask your guest if he understood that creating patterns of matter and energy here on the Earth can influence or create corresponding patterns of energy in the greater universe. I think it was Pythagoras who said that the whole of a thing is equal to the sum of its parts. And if you arrange certain elements, or, you know, like bend over plants and point their plant-type life energies in a circle, it will create a vortex within the subtle energies of both the Earth and the universe as a whole, and create changes in the universe as a whole. The ancients understood this in terms of spiral temples, that kind of thing, like Stonehenge.
And, so, caller, you're relating this to the earlier discussion of the anomalous effects of the created crop circle.
Affirmative.
Yeah. I guess, Scott, you agree with that, right?
Well, I do, Art, and, you know, energy is once again measured in numbers. Everything is. There's nothing that's not. And so I don't know the impact that this in particular thing will have, the mathematical matrix or the 0 through 9 and how that's developed now over the past several hundred years. And we're really just coming around to it now. It's just taken that long to get the message around, and only in this, really, our generation has it been our ability to communicate with each other on such a high level. And so it's time for it.
Okay. Joanne, I believe, in Los Angeles, you're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Joanne from Los Angeles. I'm going back to the crop circle with the numbers that you say. I didn't see the picture of it. But
it's still up on the, it's still, Joanne, it's still on the website, coasttocoastam.com. So if you get a chance to get up there, take a look.
I will. I'm going to look at it. When you do constructions in geometry, like you get the three angle bisectors, you end up getting a point where that ends up being like an in-center point where the circle is inscribed in the triangle. If you get perpendicular bisectors, you get the circle circumscribed around the triangle. You call that like the circumcenter. But if you get the three medians and on this triangle, if you construct them, the point where they intersect, they call it the centroid, and that's like the center of gravity. Now, when we do the constructions, it's like on a flat surface, and I'm just thinking maybe in space there's no such thing as a flat surface, that maybe it's curved somehow. So maybe the crop circle, like with all these different constructions, somehow maybe where they're overlapping. What I was thinking is like the numbers could represent maybe degree measures or ratios of between the two, all the different points, and maybe somehow that, or maybe the ratio of the radii and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking maybe that if we could build something like that, it might like somehow like recreate what's happening in the crop circle. So that was just like an idea that I had.
Well, it's been fascinating. You know, Simeon Hein, Peter Sorensen, and these guys that did this crop circle for me are so smart, and they're so experienced in not only this, but they love everything you're talking about and so much more. I've been overwhelmed with information and opportunities and ideas about how to implement this matrix, and it's very exciting. At the same time, I'm trying to stay grounded to make sure that the educational impact is felt first, because I believe many things can happen from there, and it's no different from when I go to visit schools and talk to kids and hopefully inspire at least one kid out of that room to have an impact in their life, where maybe, you know, they'll come out one day and cure cancer or some other remarkable thing. And teachers have an amazing gift and opportunity where you never know when your lesson ends or how the impact you'll have with the people in your life. So I'm still very focused on that. And art, you know, talking about higher math and all that, I'm looking forward to studying all these wonderful things. But I really feel like I found my calling, and I'm using my gift for good. And it's a passion that drives me every day to do what I'm doing, even though it's against what 99% of math teachers teach out there right now, and it's an uphill battle. But I feel like I have no quit in me because I so understand and believe in what I'm doing. So, you know, it's just fun. I love what I do, so it makes it easy.
Yeah, that's clear. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Hi, it's Larry Roberts calling from Central Florida. Hey, just had a question. I'm absolutely fascinated by what I've been listening to tonight. I've really tried to stay away from numerology because it seemed like people were making things fit with numbers. But after listening to your story, I know numbers are language. And I just got to thinking about some things. This may mean nothing, maybe something, but I was just thinking as I was listening to you. Scott, my birthday's 1954, which is 14. I'm born the 14th day of the month, which is 9. And I know numbers are connected in the Bible and in as a language. Does that mean anything? Is there any connection to that? And then I was going to ask also, what's your website address again so I can pull down that information of the calendar for the crop circles?
Okay. Well, I have a couple websites. Human Calendar. The Human Calendar, I'm sorry, thehumancalendar.com. And my website is humancalculator.com or scottflansburgh.com. They're all there. So you can find out more there. And as far as your first part with the 14th day in 1954, no, I don't see any connections or anything like that. And something I go by is our newspapers every day have a horoscope, and there's only 12 of them in there. There's 300 million Americans. There's 12 horoscopes. That means 25 million people are having the same day. Mm-hmm. And that just seems incredibly statistically impossible.
First time caller line, your turn with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Hi, this is Matt from Dayton, Tennessee. Appreciate your call. I wanted to ask Scott if he knew about the folding of the $20 bill.
You talked about it earlier.
Yeah. If you fold it, if you turn it around, fold it in the same way, it depicts the smoke coming out, if you have your imagination, of the Pentagon also.
Yeah, split in half, burning.
Okay.
Right, yeah, and it's funny because the airplane that hit that one hit the ground, supposedly, and it's just funny that you have to flip the airplane of the $20 bill over to see that.
Okay. Wildcard line, let's go here. You're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
How's it going, Art?
Okay, sir.
Well, I've been wanting to talk to you for about the last 11 years.
Well, here you are.
I got a comment and I got a question. My comment is, my dad was a CPA, and he taught me a really neat trick, or I should say a trick, but a formula on how to do percentages. And I was just wondering how that works out with your math.
Well, you know, accountants use a lot of checks and things like that. But the only thing that accountants use that I was familiar with is a nines check.
Uh-huh.
Did he show you that?
No. Well, what he would do with percentages, he would take, like, let's say, 30% of 100, and that's just a real simple one. You just take 10% of 100, that'd be 10% plus the 3. You get the 1% of 100, which would be 1, and then times 3, and that'd be 3. So you add that 10 plus the 3, and that'd be the 13%. And that was his formula. He taught me to always use 10 as a base, and then if it was an odd one, like 17% or 18%, you can just multiply that times 7 or times 8 or whatever it may be, and you can get the answer that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked out really easy.
Yes, and I do. I do division and fractions and percentages and all that. And it's just a reverse multiplication problem for me. I just flip the numbers around and do the math. So it's just in how you ask the question, really, right, that makes it easier to figure out the percentages. And I know the proper strategies and approaches to a percentage problem. that maximize my efficiency.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. All right, caller. Thank you very much. Let's go to the international line, and I think all the way to this side of the world in South Korea. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell. This is Alan, Korea.
Hi.
Got a little quick conversion thing I do that you might find handy if they use Celsius there in the Philippines. But when they have a Celsius temperature, what I do is I just add a zero to it, then take the number and subtract it. In other words, let's say it's like 20 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So I add a zero, and that becomes 200. And then I subtract the 20, which becomes 180. Divide that by 5, and then take the sum and add 32, and boom, you got 68.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Do you have an easier way?
Well, you know,
I do. I go to Google and I put in Celsius and Fahrenheit, and it gives you a little conversion table.
Well,
well, I got a key out over here, and it's got the little button you push, and tells you the outside temperature, right? And by the time I'll push the button, this is like 16 Celsius or 21 Celsius. And, you know, I'm an American, I just can't convert, you know, that means absolutely nothing to me, so I got to convert it into Fahrenheit.
Well, you know, just a easy way to do that conversion is just double the number and add 30. The exact formula is 1.8 times and add 32. You know, multiply the Celsius times 1.8 and then add 32. So you said 20. So if you did 20 times 1.8, you'd get 36. And then you add.
Wait a minute. Say it again for me because I'm converting Celsius all the time. Double the number and add 32. Is that correct?
Well, double it and add 30. It's rounding
30.
It off. The exact formula, Art, is 1.8. So you multiply let's do 20 Celsius. So you do 20 times 1.8, and that gives you 36. And then you add 32, which is 68. So let's do the 20 the way I said. Just double the first number, double it and add 30, and you end up at 70 degrees. So it's always within a couple of degrees of the temperatures that we experience usually.
But that gets you the ballpark. That's easier.
Yeah, double it and add 30. And, when I'm traveling overseas, that's all I do. I don't need to know it's exactly 71.5 degrees or anything, but, you know, I need to know what to wear.
Yeah, what I do, like, when I drive up to Seoul, is the Koreans, their license plate have 4 digits. And just a lot of times because I'm bored, because I'll take the first 2 numbers and then the last 2 numbers and see how fast I can convert them as I'm driving. Maybe that's a little dangerous.
Well, you know, that's a good example, but I'd like to give you another opportunity to exercise the muscle in your brain that you're trying to do there. And it's just a simple pattern. And you see any number and just add up its digits and subtract that total from the number you're looking at. And the answer you get will always be a number that adds up to 9. So all the
9,
listeners.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Right. So all the
9
listeners.
Everywhere.
All the listeners, just for fun, think of how old you are. Just think of your age and add the digits of your age together and subtract that total from your age, and you'll get a number that adds up to 9, and it will never let you down. So just for fun, I'm 42, and you just go 4 and 2. That adds up to 6, and you do 42 minus 6, and that gives you a 36. 3 plus 6 equals 9.
Yeah,
works for every number in the universe.
First time caller line. Wow. You're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Hi, this is Paul from Moreno Valley, California. And I had a comment and a question. My first comment was that numbers have always come naturally to me and like adding in that. And in math classes, of course, I got a lot of flack for it and that kind of thing. And I think Scott's method really does work. I mean, until he explained it right now, I never understood it. But my question is having to do with music. On a staff of music, like a treble clef, you have 5 lines and 4 spaces, which is 9. And when you have a full grand staff, you will have the middle C line, so that's 11 lines. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering about the relationship between music, like 7 notes and, with lines and all that kind of stuff, and what that could mean, possibly.
Well, I'm very blessed that one of my best friends in the world is Alice Cooper. And he's all about music, and he calls himself the anti-math guy. He could care less about math, but he loves music, obviously, and he knows that. I mean, when we first met and started playing golf and became friends, that was one of the most common topics is that music is all math, and why don't I sit down and learn how to do music? And I've learned a lot about music since then from him and his friends. But I always get confused. Why do they use the letters for music, A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Why not use numbers? Well, I would prefer 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, obviously, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because if I say, how many notes is it from B to G, our brain has to translate that and take an extra step to figure out how many that is. But if it was just numbers, you could instantly figure that out, the spatial dimension of music. So it would make it easier for most people to learn. So that's what I'm working on, music math, you know. But it's not going over big, so I'm not really spending much time on it.
All right, time is short. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Scott Flansburgh. Hi.
Hi. Art?
Yes.
Listen, you know what? You keep me up at night.
Good, I think.
Well, listen, Scott, you said something earlier this evening in reference to having the right frequency, like tuning into a radio station, and you related that to vocal. I wanted to ask you, would you happen to know if chanting causes a frequency or an anomaly like the crop circles?
I do. I do have some belief in that, because when I do performances and I'm going to do some serious mental math, I go into a zone and nothing disturbs me. I can have things happening around me, people talking, whatever, and I can still instantly calculate days of the week and all these other things. And so I believe it creates a vibration, an energy that allows me to do that without distraction. And it's no different than any athlete you see performing. When they get in the zone, there's nothing that can get in their way or stop them. And the biggest thing that gets in our way is ourselves. We distract ourselves with so many things going on. So I somehow tune that all out.
There is indeed that zone. I know exactly what you're talking about. And when you're there, nothing can touch you.
Zero. Not one thing.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you.
You got it.
You're very welcome. Take care. We might have time for one more. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, on that centigrade, the Fahrenheit and Fahrenheit to centigrade.
Yes.
I believe the right form, if I remember junior high school or middle school correctly, is 9/5 or 5/9 times the number you have, either plus or minus 32. But I don't remember which set of factors goes with which conversion. So
you said it right.
A mathematician can straight you out on that.
Well, you just said it right. 9/5 is 1.8. That's what we were talking about earlier. And you do add 32 to the Celsius.
Yeah, you were just laying down an easier sort of general method for us. East of the Rockies, you're on the air last, I think, with Scott Flansburgh. Hello.
Hello, East of the Rockies?
That's you.
Oh, good. Scott, a book, Theomatics.
I've read it.
By Del Washburn. Theomatics.
And there's also Theomatics 2.
Yes, Theomatics 2, and the website, theomatics.com. It'll explain all of the Greek and Hebrew number systems, and everything in the Bible is scientifically provable.
Well, and I'd like to say that, you know, I didn't go into the Bible and get transformed by the words. The numbers and the patterns really blew me away and almost sold me into the dimensions of the Bible that I didn't believe existed at one time.
Okay, my friend,
Theomatics,
listen,
I read as well. It was very interesting.
All right. Scott, we're out of time. You have a gift. You're a wonderful guy. I want to thank you for being here. Obviously, we will do it again.
Thank you for the time, Art.
Good night, Scott.
Good night.
All right, folks, there you have it. That's Scott Flansburgh, the human calculator. This has been a fascinating night. Tomorrow night, Dr. Stephen Greer, who made quite a stir the last time he was on. But for now, for this night, I'm Art Bell from Manila in the Philippines. You all have a good day, night, or whatever it is. Good night, all.